It's good to be together again as we finish off the week here on God Is. You join listeners coast to coast in the United States and all around the world because this ministry is heard on both radio and via the podcast. And wherever you are today and however you listen, the God of the universe has something important to say to you. I pray that you will have ears now open and attentive to Him. I am, as always, merely the messenger. Living in this world right alongside you, I am very aware of the voices, the images, and the sounds crying out to you all day and night for your undivided attention. The mobile technology is enticing and makes us obsessive about pumping the content we feel most drawn to into our brains. But my sincere hope for you is that the Bible will be first and repeatedly foremost among the many pieces of content you digest every single day. And so now let me read for us this one verse of Scripture that we've been focused on all week, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm reading the Bible now, Matthew 4, 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. As a reminder, we have spent significant time on the word tempted, and prior to that, some time on the Spirit doing the leading and the devil doing the tempting. Today I want to speak to you about the place to which our Lord went, the wilderness, and then I have some insights I want to give you into the devil. So when you get to your Bible, highlight the place, the wilderness, and the name, the devil, if you have not already done so. This will be useful and beneficial to you in your own study of the very Word of God. Let's start with the wilderness, shall we? And here I want to leave you with two insights heading into the weekend. First, I want to give you a sense for where this was in Israel and for what it was like, the environment, as it were. Second, I want to make a comparison and contrasts between the wilderness here in Matthew and the Garden of Eden in Genesis. And so first, what do we know about where this wilderness was located and what it was like? To the first point, we would be merely estimating where precisely this was, although many theories exist. But we do know that it was somewhere in Judea, southern Israel, and west of the Dead Sea. To the second point, this is barren, difficult land. It was full of dust, dirt, sand, and limestone rocks. This is not a vacation paradise. And there is an intriguing statement made by Mark over in his gospel at chapter 1 and verse 13 about the space into which Jesus went. Listen now to Mark chapter 1 and verses 12 to 13. Immediately the Spirit impelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. That was Mark 1 verses 12 through 13. And I want you to notice verse 13 in which Mark says, "In this wilderness, Jesus was with the wild beasts." Oh yes, it was wild out there, hot, dusty, dry, dirty, and on top of that, wild beasts roamed, lurking behind the limestone rocks while our Lord stood alone against the temptations coming his way. This is inhospitable territory in which to be tested and tempted. But this is so like God to do. Really, it is. God is one who regularly leads his people, especially the leaders he has raised up to give leadership over us, out into the barren wilderness of our lives in order to test us and to prepare us for our future. I have in mind Moses. Listen to Exodus chapter 24 and verse 18. Moses entered the midst of the cloud as he went up to the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. There was the servant of God, the man Moses, all alone, way up on the treacherous mountainside for no short period of time. And I have in mind Elijah. Listen to this from 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. So Elijah arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. And here is God's man Elijah, again 40 days and 40 nights, up the mountain in challenging conditions, alone. Moses and Elijah are there to be tested by the living God. These texts are Exodus 24, verse 18, and 1 Kings 19, verse 8. and you would be wise to read them in context this weekend. Sit down with Exodus 24 and 1 Kings 19. Get into the Word on a summer's Saturday and Sunday and read about the comparisons between Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, by the way, and Moses and Elijah doing the same for 40 days and 40 nights. There are great comparisons to be made. And God is still doing this. If we had time, I could give you my own testimony of wilderness seasons, times that I now see, in hindsight, were used of my Lord to deal with sin in my life, to mature me, and to prepare me for what he had in store for my own future. But I'll need to save such a testimony for another day, because I want to also make some comparisons and contrasts now between the Garden of Eden in Genesis and the wilderness in the book of Matthew. Most everyone knows that Adam and Eve were created by the living God and placed in the Garden of Eden. We read about this with clarity back in the first book of God's Bible, Genesis. If you are not familiar with the true story of Adam and Eve, then that is another portion of the scripture to read this weekend. Start in Genesis chapter 1 and keep reading. But if you will think back with me to what they encountered, or rather, who they encountered, it was this same devil that Jesus faces off with. But Jesus was in a vast desert, whereas Adam and his wife Eve were in a vast paradise. Jesus had nothing to eat and little to drink. Listen to Matthew 4, verse 2. And after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. Whereas Adam and Eve had everything they needed in ample supply. In the garden, they were never hungry. And when we consider two further contrasts, we come to these. Adam and Eve had one another, but Jesus Christ was all alone. And then the biggest contrast is this. When confronted by the devil in the garden, Adam, the first man, and Eve gave into the temptation and sinned, dragging the whole human race with them. But when Jesus was confronted by the devil in the wilderness, Jesus resisted temptation, lifting the whole human race who will believe in him by faith out of our sin and into his holiness. Jesus is the last Adam. The last Adam succeeded where the first Adam failed. It is impossible not to think of the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve when we read about Jesus in the wilderness. And of course, the devil showed up in both places. Given my time constraints, this is what I wanted to share with you today about the wilderness in Matthew 4, verse 1. And now let's draw to a close this broadcast and podcast by dealing with the name devil. Obviously, we will talk more about him next week as we plunge into the actual three temptations. But as an introduction to our fiercest enemy, let me say what now follows. This name devil is one of the most common names for Satan found in the Bible, and devil has the meaning of accuser or slanderer. Accuser or slanderer. And that is certainly who he is. He's always accusing and slandering Christ's followers, isn't he? Here are the other names given to him in God's Word, all equally descriptive of his nature. The tempter. We find that right in Matthew 4, verse 3. Matthew writes, "And the tempter came." Further along in John's gospel, he is called the ruler of this world. In Ephesians 2 and verse 2, the devil is called the prince of the power of the air. And in 2 Corinthians 4, 4, the god of this world. And then in the revelation of Jesus Christ at the close of the Bible, we read about Satan as the serpent of old and the deceiver of the whole world. That's Revelation 12, verse 9, and as destroyer. That is Revelation 9, verse 11. And yes, I believe the devil is a personal being because the Bible says he is. We have that right in front of us here at Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. The devil met Jesus in person in the wilderness. People by the millions make a great mistake when they picture the devil as imaginary. you know, some sort of Halloween creation, a pitchfork, a red tail, and pointed ears. He's like a joke to many people, even sadly some persons who think of themselves as Christians. But he is real. He exists, and he is out to kill and destroy us. He hates God with every fiber of his being. God created him, and he fell from heaven after his outright rebellion. And since then, he has his sights set on devastating all of the people of God. And one of his often used tools in bringing death to us is temptation. This is why we pause now on this Friday to give praise and thanksgiving to Jesus Christ, who has delivered us from the devil. Yes, Christ did so on the cross, but the beginnings of Christ's crushing defeat of the devil are right here in the earliest chapters of Matthew's gospel, because what we shall see next week is that as tough as the devil is, Jesus is God. And God and the devil are not equal enemies. No, God is the ruler yet. God reigns. God is the victor, and Satan is always and forever the loser. This is what the Bible teaches us throughout its many chapters and verses. As promised, I've spoken to you today about the wilderness and about the devil. This completes our in-depth look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. When you return on Monday, and I certainly hope you will, we'll move into verse 2 and go forward from there. In preparation, be sure to reread these 11 verses. We started the week in our summer Bible school reading them. And so how about if we end the week doing the same? I certainly hope you will enjoy your weekend, get to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, and Bible-living church this weekend to worship our great and living God, if you can. And whether or not you can, get out your copy of God's Word and read it, or have it read to you if your eyesight is weak. And then be right back here on Monday for another week, Lord willing, of discovering who God is.